The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, Season 9, Episode 304.
How many have
just
we
just made
done?
Those numbers up, King? I've absolutely no idea, but
couldn't tell you.
We're going what you would classify as strong. We're facing the breeze. Cats were going strong on Saturday night, King?
Yeah, at times.
I thought it was a good effort.
Solid.
Yeah,
I'll give it,
it a
B.
Yeah, I'd written
a
down
7.5 out of 10.
Do you know what? For the first time, this will impress you
and shock your listeners.
Possibly, is I actually did some little bit. I wrote some notes.
Did before. Some research.
Yeah, and I left them at home.
Of course you did.
So that's
is that like up there with the dog ate my homework.
Well, actually, I did. I left them at home. I thought, crikey, why did I bother doing that?
What did your notes say? What did you spill all over yourself? By the way, Benny, what's all over that T-shirt of yours?
I think that could be. Toothpaste, King, just there. You're talking about that area there. It's toothpaste.
Did you have a look before you left the house?
I'll have to get the
at least I know you. At least I know your pearly whites are pearly
yes,
white.
Yes, exactly right. I'll have to get the cold power onto it.
The cats. What were you on? What were in your notes?
Likes and dislikes.
What did you like?
Of what can I remember? The King. This is you're testing my memory. What did I like? Well, you just said you thought that you were intimating the Cats were a bit up and down.
Yes.
I actually thought they were consistent. I thought they played a good four quarter consistent game. Now, in against teams at this level, bar maybe a couple, there's going to be ebbs and flows in every game. There's going to be momentum against you when they kick some goals, and St Kilda are going to be a team, and I think we'll see that tonight when they play Collingwood. They're difficult to beat. They make you beat them. Now that may sound a bit odd, but they play what you would classify in soccer, King. And I've only how's this? I'm referencing soccer first time in my life because I've started watching a little bit of it.
What are you watching?
Thanks
today?
To Ange Postecoglou.
Who are you watching?
Have you ever been to the? I've been to the Ange Postecoglou. Postecoglou.
That used to be a running. Yes, Sam Santo and Ed, when they had their show,
they're always going to the Postecoglou. So they play the equivalent of a low block in soccer. Mm. So they put everybody back, try and hit you on the counter. They're very good at getting back. We heard Neildy say during the game, they're relentless in getting back to clog up the space. So yes, they're difficult to score against. So what it does is, and they don't score a whole lot themselves, but they keep the score close, which keeps the pressure on the opposition, and that will overpower a lot of oppositions, that style of footy, because they're not capable of sort of mentally coping with that. I thought Geelong did a really good job of coping with that, keeping the pressure on for four quarters, playing...
You can't question Geelong's commitment.
No, playing a consistent brand of footy. They played it because I think... I mean, last year, I don't know how much we referenced last year off the back of the premiership last year, the previous year. But
you can't because the person...
Well, they were so up and down last year. Yeah. One quarter they'd be all right. Next minute they'd be getting blown away.
And the personnel was so up and down
last
year.
So I liked the fact that they were consistent. I liked the game, obviously, of Ollie Dempsey. I thought he was really good. Now, he's going to have down games. He may even end up back in the VFL at some point, but... What we saw, there was certainly something to work with. And, he's got a bit of X factor.
And I'll be the first to say, and I think even you were the same, we were a bit question mark.
Well, I was questioning where he'd play. Where would you play?
I was probably more question mark whether he was up to it. And I'm happy to say what I saw the other night. Yeah, he's up to it.
I mean, he was...
And then I had to front up and interview him one-on-one during the week.
Right, well, that worked out well. Yeah. Did you say, look, I thought you were rubbish, and now I think you're all right?
One of the questions I did ask him, though, was, you're not going to get 15 and kick three every week. Because if you get 15 kick three every week, you're in the All-Australian team.
Yes. That's not going to happen. That's not for a bloke in his third year.
He's
played eight games.
The question I asked him was, when it's not happening for you, what keeps you in the game? And he said, hopefully defensively.
Yeah,
he can bring.
Because he's got some X factor. And I think during the call, I sort of made mention of the fact that he's not just one-dimensional. He's actually a good mark. And he can jump over the top of you unexpectedly.
And he's got the license to do that.
And so which makes him quite a threat. And he's sort of that, I don't think he's super quick, but he's sort of elusive in the way he plays. So look, I mean, he's played eight games, so let's not get carried away, but it was a really good performance. Rising star.
You got the rising star.
Rising star.
That's how I got to interview him.
So I like the consistency. I liked Ollie Dempsey. I thought Tanner Bruin was fantastic off the back of the injury. His influence in the second half was, especially the third quarter, was enormous.
Well, I thought the second quarter. Didn't he have it 12 times in the second quarter?
He had a lot of it. But he's taken another step. What's the word on him for tomorrow night?
Cats are confident.
Right.
Cats are confident, yeah.
But they also said last week there's no debutants and then Manor played and that Neil was playing and that he didn't play. So can we believe them?
Oh, you just... Yeah.
He'd be a big loss. He'd be a big loss.
I think he's playing.
I liked, and this might sound strange, but I liked the fact that Patrick Dangerfield played a four-quarter game.
Mm.
Last year he was sort of mirrored the team. He'd have a good quarter and then you wouldn't see him, and then he'd have a good week and then you wouldn't see him, and
there was the burst out of the middle too.
Yeah, he was good. He didn't dominate by any stretch, but he had, I think, 25 and had an influence in every quarter, which is something that he hasn't done a whole lot of in the last couple of years.
Geelong was even.
Yeah, they were. I think they got something from everybody.
I'll tell you who was good late was Jake Colajasny.
He was good early too.
Yeah,
but there
was a couple of moments late where, you know, ball came in and he was just right place, right time, and then made the right decision to get it moving again, send the Cats forward.
Look, I've always been a fan of Jake Colajasny. Yeah. You know, as long as my ass points to the terra firma, I like Jake Colajasny. He's not sexy, and yes, he'll make the odd mistake, but his mistakes unfortunately exacerbated because they're in the back half. Mm. I mean, a midfield gets it and kicks it all over the place.
They're magnified.
Yeah. He just gets in the way. He doesn't do anything that's going to appear on the stat sheet, but he's a bit versatile. He's a good mark.
Because he started on
a small, on Higgins.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he can go to somebody who's 196 and match them.
Yeah, he could go to a Cooper Sharman.
He and Henry are really key for the Cats because they're versatile. Mm. He's a bit taller than Henry, not much. I think Henry's 190. Colajasny would be 193.
I think, yeah, 190, 191 for Henry.
They're just versatile. They give you a bit of versatility, which is absolutely crucial because Cats running with only one key defender, or what you would classify as a key defender in Sam DeConing, they need to have that versatility of that second tier. And I've always maintained that Colajasny is capable of being that second key defender. And let's hope this year, it looks like this year he's going to get a crack to do it because young fella O'Sullivan, I wouldn't have thought he's going to be getting too many games, if any.
He's spending some time in the VFL.
Yeah. So it's going to, I think this year might work out well for Jake Colajasny. Let's just hope he gets a run out injury-wise.
Became a dad during the week.
Did he?
Yeah, so young Lenny was born on the 17th.
Lenny.
Yep, L-E-N-I.
Lenny Colajasny. Yep. Colajasny.
Yep.
Do you reckon Lenny will know who Eddie Vedder is? Because his dad doesn't, unfortunately.
We did have him on.
Which is extraordinary.
When we had him on the podcast, yeah, you've never heard of Pearl Jam.
No, ever.
And he's in the throes of a new contract extension
good.
Too.
Which good. Is good. Toiler. He's just an honest toiler. And I love honest toilers.
You need those.
Every team has them.
Yep.
Look at Jack Crisp.
Yep.
Look at Majacek. Look at a few other blokes from Collingwood. Geelong have had them when they... You've got to have those blokes who just play a team role, and yes, they'll make the odd mistake, but you've got to have them.
Yeah. This week he plays game 176, draws him level with Tim Darcy.
Does it?
Yeah.
It's a good effort.
Yeah.
He'll get to 200. That's a fine effort. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And his brother, obviously the sad story of his brother, who had to give the game away. Top draft pick five, I think, to the Gold Coast, and ended up having to retire because of concussions. But, look, Jake, and he's a pretty unassuming sort of guy, Jake. He doesn't seek out attention. He just turns up to work, plays his game to the best of his ability, and when he's playing well, he's a good addition to the team.
Yeah. Talking about blokes with numbers this week, obviously we know Tommy Hawkins plays 349, 350 on Easter Monday. Mitch Duncan goes to 276. Joel Corey's on that. So he goes into the top 12, Mitch. He's about to knock over Corey, Taylor, Mackey, Scarlett, Riccardi, and you would think Milburn this year, and he'll be top seven, Mitch Duncan.
Hats off to him.
Without injuries.
Yeah, ironically too, he's got as many kids as games he's played.
And clearly, he's fourth is due.
The tally's on the blink.
The fourth is due over the Easter weekend, so it'll be interesting to see how that all falls in terms of playing on Easter
Monday. And he also got that amazing tourist footage, didn't he, when he was
in Perth.
In lockdown.
Yes, he did. Mark Blitzer.
What was in that footage, King?
I don't know. Mark Blitzer goes past Gary Ablett Jr. at Geelong. Goes to 248, same number as Billy Goggin. So Blitzarves is so that'll be 250 for him against the Bulldogs in Adelaide.
Yes.
All going to plan.
Good.
So just some numbers there.
Some milestones, Kingy.
Just some milestones coming up, yeah, which is good.
So I had a few dislikes, Kingy.
Give them.
I know we can't
Fire away.
I don't want to dwell too long. I thought off the back of last year, I was hoping to see more from Tyson Stengel. Was just got injured. Is he up in the air for tomorrow night?
No, there was not on the injury list that was put out.
Right.
And it was a fairly comprehensive injury
list. I thought he struggled.
Is he a potential to be the sub? Bring Manor in, start Manor, and Stengel could be your...
Possibly. The only problem there is that he's very one-dimensional. If you get in, you know, I think your sub has to have some flexibility.
But even Manor was probably going to be one-dimensional.
Possibly. Manor's probably more accustomed to playing in the midfield, if needed. He's probably a bit more of a size, body-wise. Whereas you can really only play...
I think Manor's got to be in the 22. Does Tui potentially become your sub?
Well, he was a disappointment, I know, and we caused a bit of a stir, didn't we, for banging on about negatives and players. And yep. I thought he looked off the pace, Zach Tui. He kicked a nice goal.
Crucial.
And in a close game, every goal's critical, so he did kick a nice goal. But he missed
a gettable one too.
He looked off the pace. He dropped a mark. He didn't really have much of an impact other than that goal. I would have thought that he would be... Certainly discussed in terms of his position in the team.
Cats talk about depth, but there's nothing banging the door down to come into the 23. So Parfitt,
we'd hope
Mullen, I think
it's pretty thin.
Shannon Neal,
you saying they're thin?
Yeah, well, with Bowes,
Guthrie,
and
Rowan,
it only takes three. All of a sudden, you put those three back in, you go, oh, gee, Cats have got some depth. But right now, like, they're young outside, other than Bewes and Parfitt outside of the 23, take out Guthrie and Bowes. Bewes and Parfitt are the only ones with any significant senior experience outside of the team at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably what keeps Tui in.
Yeah.
You need to play well, though. Yep. I think he's certainly on the outer because let's put it this way, Kingy. Do you think if we did a straw poll of Cat fans and you had to play Zach Tui on the wing or Ollie Dempsey, who do you think? And I know recency bias is going to say Ollie Dempsey, but I would much rather see Ollie Dempsey have ups and downs throughout the course of 14 or 15 senior games this year and be better for next year.
I'd rather Mitch Nevitt be playing on the wing right now.
Well, true, one of them, than Tui. Well,
Dempsey's a forward.
We've got enough old guys in that team that we just need and Dempsey and Nevitt are both third year players. They're not first year players.
Yep.
So that's what I'd prefer. But given what you've just said, Tui probably holds his spot, but he needs to London Fog. I'm trying to think of some other things that I didn't particularly like. Well, the other one, Kingy, and it's an obvious one, and we're going to get in trouble for bashing on players, but Reece Stanley was absolutely horrible.
When he dropped that mark,
well,
especially.
He dropped the mark, but he got absolutely obliterated. Obliterated. Yeah. I was thinking to myself, Kingy, it's easy from the, you know, and I'm sure there are reasons, maybe there aren't, but why wouldn't the Cats have got Todd Goldstein for one season? Clearly Geelong thinks they're still a premiership team.
Yep.
Clearly, they've got Manor as a 27-year-old in the draft,
yep.
Top 40. That says to me they think that he can add something this year to prop them to not, I wouldn't say to get them over the line, not a first-year player, but help them, help their depth,
yep,
for a premiership push. Why wouldn't they have got Todd Goldstein? There's already rumblings that he's not getting a game with Essendon because Draper's back.
Yep.
We're in round two.
Yep.
Round two.
Yep.
Now, Todd Goldstein would have looked, Geelong would have given their list of ruckmen, and he would have gone, Reece Stanley, got him covered.
Toby Conway.
And he would have gone, Loch Ness Conway, he's played, how many games has he played? He would have said, how many games has Toby played? And the Cats would have said,
one or two.
One.
Yeah, one.
He would have said, I've got them covered. And then they would have said, who's your next ruckman? Yeah, well, we haven't got one.
Mark Blitzhouse.
Well, he doesn't play in the ruck. So he plays on ball.
But he did. Actually, do you know when Geelong actually got a few of the clearances? Was when Blitzhouse rucked.
I know. Stanley was absolutely horrendous. And, I mean, Marshall was single-handedly taking over that game in some areas. But I just look, and maybe there are other reasons for it, but I just would have thought Todd Goldstein would have been an absolute perfect fit for one season for the Cats. He went to Essendon, who have got Draper, who I know he was injured for the...
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. There is no way known...
They're not playing
Draper
the same team.
And no, they're not. They'll try it, yep, and it'll go pear-shaped, right, and then Goldstein will be out.
He'll be as good as...
He'll be playing in the twos.
He'll be as good as...
Grundy and
gone.
Well, the other one is, why didn't we have a crack at Grundy?
Maybe he
wanted to get out of Melbourne.
Yeah,
because I understand that. If Geelong asked the question, he said, "Look, I don't. Thanks for the offer, but I don't want to come down." That's fine. We'll probably never know that. But the Goldstein one, I'm shaking my head because Todd Goldstein would be Geelong's number one ruckman, head and shoulders now at Geelong, and potentially push them, take them through for the, what they think is a premiership push.
He's 36. Is there a risk that if he got injured, you've wasted the opportunity?
Well, you've still got Stanley and Conway anyway. They're the only two they've taken it,
but you've used a spot on the list for a 36-year-old.
Well, they've used a spot on the list for get rid of Tui. Why would you have Tui, not Goldstein? Goldstein is far more important and necessary to the team than Zach Tui. Yeah.
Adelaide. Tom Stewart's 150th. We were touching on milestones, yes. But I wanted to...
How good.
Yeah. So basically 7 years to the day since he debuted, round one, 2017 versus Fremantle. I think he and Brandon Parfitt debuted together over there against the Dockers, and the Cats got the chocolates that day. I don't think we would have thought that he could produce the career that he did. Like, we knew he was going to be a solid contributor, but five-time All-Australian, two-time Kaji Greaves medalist, and a premiership player.
How good was it to see him in the defence too on Saturday? He's closing speed. He looks to be even quicker. Probably reads the ball better now, which makes him look quicker. He probably isn't. But a couple of his spoils, his capacity to get over and spoil. He doesn't lose his feet. He's a beautiful kick. He marks the ball brilliantly. He's physical. And he hates getting beaten. He got beaten in a one-on-one, and he wasn't happy on Saturday night. But if he plays every game, which Cat fans would be hoping that he does, bar Jeremy Cameron, I think he wins the St. Ferris by the length of the Flemington Strait. And he and De Koning are there. He, De Koning, and Dangerfield, and not so much because of Dangerfield talent, more because of Geelong are thin in the midfield. They're their three most important players for this year. If Stewart and De Koning went out, Geelong will be just start.
Tough ask.
Start rebuilding.
Yep. But he's had a wonderful career. We were lucky enough to talk to him after the game on Friday night, and he's still very much grounded in his South Barwon roots in terms of he's got the same bunch of mates that he knocked around with as a 13 and 14-year-old. They're all heading over, so can't wait. We're heading over too, Benny, which looking forward to a bit of City of Churches action.
Yeah, I can't wait, King. I'll light a few candles.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Do you think I might burst into flames if I go into the cathedral?
I'm sure you will.
I'm booked in for some confession too.
Yep.
Tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Adelaide.
With father.
Who?
What?
Who?
No,
you're not. Yeah. Let's move on.
Just father.
Adelaide.
Yes.
Crows weren't great against Gold Coast last week. Heavy conditions.
They nearly won.
But they nearly won.
In the end. They'll be tough to beat at home. Conditions are going to be ideal. It's going to be 23 or 24 on the day.
Geelong could somehow sneak back with
let's hope, Kingy. They'll need to be playing their best. Walker playing?
They expect him to be back. It was back spasms.
Oh, back spasms. Have you had any of them?
Yep. I'm actually, last 2 days, Went playing golf on Tuesday, went to get the sand out of the pit to put in the sand bucket, and just as I reached, bang, sort of just grass.
Spasms.
Still managed to net 71.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, it can't have been too many spasms then.
And it didn't affect the swing. It was all right. Actually, probably, if anything, it slowed my swing down and a bit more controlled rather than trying to hit the cover. I know I did.
So. Moving everything by your bounds.
As you talk to my playing partners, the ability for me to hold my feet when I swing the golf club.
Do you get airborne?
Nearly.
Yes. Old Greg Norman style.
Cleared for takeoff.
The big Blackfoot slide.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big game. I think Riley O'Brien, Reece Stanley's got to find a way to improve on last week.
He goes all right against O'Brien.
Well, yeah, maybe. But he needs to respond. That'll be key because Riley O'Brien is a bit like, he reminds me a little bit of sort of that Oscar McInerney from Brisbane. Very unfashionable, but very effective.
45 hit-outs against Jared Witts last week.
Yeah, he's a good player. He can dominate, and then you're throwing it down the throats of the likes of Laird, Crash.
Jordan Dawson.
He's one that, we don't tag, but Jordan Dawson can just rack them up. He's not my favourite player, but I nearly look at Mark O'Connor playing some sort of negating role on Jordan Dawson. They've got a number of smaller forwards too. Rankin is one. We're going to have to find...
Rischelli.
So who, without Buse playing, who goes to Rankin?
O'Connor.
He's not agile enough for mine, O'Connor. He's too straight line. You need somebody who's agile. That's what Busey is. He's athletic. I wouldn't.
Do you reckon Keys will get sent to a Bruin or somebody like that?
Oh, possibly. They don't do a lot of tagging.
Keys
either.
Is the one they use, though, if they're going to stop.
Possibly. Them. He likes to get the ball.
He had it 9 times last week.
He'll respond. No, Thill thought for them hurts a little bit. He's injured. He's a player, very talented player, so that will hurt their forward line structure. You wonder how Texas missed a bit of training. He's as great as he is. He's probably never been a...
And he's 34.
Yeah, so how he performs. I'd like to send Kyler Jasny to Walker. And then, I mean, that maybe leaves De Koning to maybe play a freer role as an intercept marker, Harry Taylor sort of style. Because other than Walker, what else have they got down there? Not much.
No, well,
with Phil Thorpe out.
Yeah, you're looking at Rochelle. You're looking at Rankin.
They're all mid-sized. Yeah. So
Keys kicked 2 goals.
Nice night. If Geelong's midfield pressure is good and forcing them into long balls inside forward 50, could set up for De Koning to be a real force for the Cats. I just wonder, Kingy, like, if there was an Achilles heel of the Cats last year, or one of them, there was a few, but one of them was that the best sort of three midfielders for the opposition were racking up somewhere between 25 and 35 possessions on their ear.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we can allow Laird, Crouch, Dawson, if they're doing that, I think Geelong are going to find it very, very difficult to win. The other end of the ground, they've got some unfashionable key defenders, but they're quite effective.
Butts.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether Butts is right, though.
So he might be out as well. Yeah. That would hurt, because Hawkins and Cameron, obviously, they don't have an obvious matchup for Cameron.
Brody Smith will probably have to do a job on somebody.
Yeah, well, he's more of an attacking defender as well. So you'd probably try to fashion a Myers on a Smith, because Smith can be damaging going the other way, but I don't know that he's the closest checking conveyance in the AFL. You can probably get away from him and cause a little bit of damage. But look, they're all big games, but if Geelong could sneak one on the road early on in the season, off the back of I don't know how much credence you put into it, but playing in pretty heavy conditioned, wet conditions on Saturday night, Adelaide, it seemed to be torrential up there for pretty much the whole game. How much that's taken out of their legs. I know with horses, it's probably difficult to draw the analogy, but sometimes horses can run really well first up, and then they struggle second up for whatever reason. And then they get back into the swing of it again. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see, off the back of a difficult night for the Crows, how they come out firing. And Geelong, obviously the key, any time we talk about going away, they've got to start well, the Cats. If they don't and the crowd gets up and about, very long way back.
Big footy, plenty of questions. Chalks, I agree they were a little more positive. This is just some of the response from last week. I agree that they were a little more positive than the last podcast on the kids. I will admit the I was wrong on Dempsey podcast at some stage. They both softened a little in this version after he had been picked from the missing in action comment of prior podcast. I'm hoping I play as well Saturday, and the K-Rock boys use the words we were wrong. Let's see. And he did play well.
He did. Yeah. Played very well. It was good to see.
We just reversed Mosdy.
Well, you sort of questioned his ability, didn't you? I never questioned his ability. I just questioned where he would fit in.
I just didn't think he was up to the standard. But
he's
proven that.
Oh, one game doesn't prove anything, but it...
Well, he's proven he's up to the standards, whether he can
maintain it. And where he fits into the team longer term. Do you think he's a wingman, or do you think he takes over from like a Gary
he
Rowan
takes
up
over
forward?
From a Rowan. Yeah, he likes to fly.
Well, they've already sort of got Ollie Henry there doing that. Can you have how many of them can you have?
I think you can have them both in the forward line.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'd love to see him throw another string to his bow and be that player on the wing, because he uses the ball pretty well and that will improve. If you've got somebody who can mark the ball as a wingman it's got a really good tank, particularly if you can get back and help out in defence as well as a marking option, then that's enormous.
Mm. Go you Catters. The insulting of certain players is generally pretty incessant, like that word, and unrelenting, though, despite any accumulated evidence to the contrary. The Guthries both copped it for years.
Not from us. Well, Zach might have, but not Cam.
Cam, the only thing you questioned with Cam was the cheap possessions he used to get.
Yeah, and he stopped doing that.
Yep.
And we questioned that with Cameron Ling as well. Remember, he used to get it 40 times every week and kick it about 3 yards?
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But I've never questioned. He just was getting cheaper touches. Trent Cotchin went through a period of doing that. And when he stopped doing it, Richmond actually won three flags.
Stanley still apparently merits no respect.
Well,
and Mark O'Connor and Tui are now clearly only on the GFC list for comedic purposes. Well, Mark O'Connor will be on the list a little bit longer. My understanding is there's a contract coming for him. If you embrace the opinions of Tom and Ben on their current worth to the club, so basically the best you can hope for is that the players you've previously pillared will be ignored in their ongoing prognostications. Anything more than that would be stretching them into the uncomfortable territory of being compelled to offer their best Arthur Fonzarelli impression. Hey.
Oh, Fonzie. You should get the jukebox going.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, go you Catters. We've obviously in his crosshairs, or their crosshairs. Cat to the future. Maybe let's just see what the kids look like without older players to lean on before we ask for the full mea culpa. I am positive. I think we have the bones of a good team, but a good team for 2027. That's Cat to the future. Mm. Go you Catters. I made no specific mention of how they're rating the kids at this point. Simply pointed out how certain established players have been mocked for years, despite the fact that each one of them, as a minimum, is a premiership player in the hoops.
Just because you've played in a premiership suddenly, you know, alters the world to any great degree. You may have been in just right spot at the right time. I mean, Zach Tui has been a great player, great pickup for the Cats.
Absolutely.
He's been really good. He's played some consistent footy. My gripe is not so much that on him as a player. It's more just I don't know. I would have thought he's one that you could use for, like we just spoke about earlier, for Nevitt and Dempsey and these blokes to get some more games into them, just to fast-track their development. But clearly Geelong think that they're in the wheelhouse of a premiership. Otherwise, they wouldn't have Zach Tui on the list because he finished last year poorly. He had a pretty average year last year. He certainly wasn't, what, top 10 in their best and fairest, was he, Kingy? No. And in the end, they dropped him out of the team towards the end of the year to play some kids. Now, that to me, if you're getting dropped out of the team at the end of the year to play some kids, that means that you're already on the outer. And those kids have got another year under their belt. So why, I mean, it doesn't sort of make any sense to me. I think Geelong have got enough older players on that list. They don't need any more just to prop up younger blokes. And they've got enough younger blokes who have got enough grounding to come in and play some senior footy, albeit they will be up and down with their performances. But so it's not so much a knock on Tui, it's more just why I'm questioning his spot on the list.
Geelong sicko, Benny the Irish lads responded to your bake, especially O'Connor, are you a genius? Well, I don't think Tui responded. He was okay. O'Connor was solid.
Yeah, O'Connor was okay. He was a meat and potato sort of player. I still sort of question his role. I don't know. What if someone said, where does Mark O'Connor play, what would you say?
Defender.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Well, he might have a big job this week.
He'll be going to a Rankin or a Rochelle.
Well, that'll be a big
like
job because Rankin can get off the chain and kick five in a heartbeat. So, I thought he was serviceable. Other than the goal, Zach Dewey kick, which he marked and kicked from directly in front, I don't know that he had much of an impact on the contest whatsoever, to be honest with you.
Tui had 15 disposals.
Yeah.
O'Connor had 17. And look, you know, that's just raw numbers.
Yeah, I thought O'Connor was much better than Tui on the night.
Anth Christian, if you discount DeConing's fabulous first season, and we're picking, it was actually, I think it was his second season, all told, and we're picking a team on form, not potential or talent, would DeConing get a spot?
100%.
He was poor last year and again on Saturday gave away multiple frees and kept spilling marks.
Oh, yeah, look, I wouldn't be...
Gave away three free kicks, had 14 disposals, took six marks.
I think he's a cornerstone of the team going forward. We've spoken about this, King. His year that he had in the premiership year was absolutely extraordinary for a player of his inexperience playing key position at his dimensions. At 20, he's 203 or something, isn't he? He struggled to live up to that last year. He's played less than 50 games.
Mm.
Like, let's just
calm
down a little bit. He is a key to that team for the next decade.
Yep.
I thought he played okay on Saturday night. He gave away. There weren't obvious. Like, it wasn't like he was just blatantly pushing people in the back. A couple of them were ticky touchwood. I really like Sammy Cunningham. I think that once he gets to 100 games as a 24, 25 year old, you're going to have a seriously, seriously good defender. I mean, I only have to think back to Jacob Wiedering. I reckon he came in his first year as a number one draft pick, might be his first or second year, played really, really well. And then he had an absolute howler of a season.
Tried to play him forward.
Well, but then he was in defence. He had, I reckon he had at least one, maybe two seasons where he was sort of what you would classify in the wilderness. Last year he was enormous for them as once he got his sea legs under him. And Sam De Koning will be the same. He's an absolute gun.
Cat to the future, a further question on De Koning. Joey Montagna on the show, the first crack last night, called out four of our back six as being integral to our game plan and said we're two goals better with all of them playing, and then showed vision of them following a triangular pattern when defending and rolling that around in a kind of formation with the other defenders moving further out. My question is this, for all the heat De Koning is copping about his round one effort, in your view, is this criticism warranted, or is he positioning to play the team game and getting caught short individually when it happens?
No, I refer to what I just said. He didn't stand out to me as being, you know, really poor, to be honest with you. I wasn't thinking, I mean, Reece Stanley stood out as being poor. You know, Blind Freddie could have told you that. But I can't understand the criticism of Sam De Koning. And those who are criticising Sam De Koning, they will be sort of eking that egg off their craniums at some point, Kingy.
Cool Cat 75, Tizer 07, 911, and Matty all just raised issues with the Wi-Fi capability at GMHBA Stadium. I suspect at some stage we'll be talking to the Trust and just letting them know there are some issues, but I'm sure people have contacted Kenya Park Stadium Trust. Somebody did make a good point. To listen to KRockFootball.live, you probably want good Wi-Fi inside GMHBA Stadium to be able to listen to it.
You heard about the two Wi-Fi managers that got married? They reckon the reception was extraordinary.
Boom, boom. That was originally an antenna joke.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Two antennas.
Do you know my favourite super joke? One of them. What is it? The guy who I think I've told you this one, Kiki, and this is sort of my humour, but the guy that developed the USB stick died last week. Yeah, that when they buried him.
What?
They put his coffin down and they realised they had to pick him back up and turn him around the other way. How often do you put the USB stick in the wrong way? Every time.
Can you tell, for those who missed the call on Saturday night, can you repeat your line that you used about somebody being confused?
The confused as the cemetery that put up its burial costs, and they blame the cost of living. As the irony of that. That is quite extraordinary.
I told somebody that.
And what did they say?
Oh, they absolutely urinated themselves laughing. Yeah, they thought it was quite funny. Here we go. Willow, gents, what do you predict Ollie Henry ending up as? I feel he has the potential to both frustrate and delight us in the space of a night, goes chunks without seeing the footy, then can have four shots in a quarter and turn or win a game. Is this just a young player thing or something that he will, for the want of a better term, grow out of? I love what he can bring, but find him really hard one to try and predict where he'll end up.
Oh, he plays in a position that lends itself to being in and out of the game.
Yeah.
And he's, what, a fourth-year player?
Fourth-year, yep.
Fourth-year player who's played less than 50 games?
Mm.
Yeah.
Nah, he's played 60.
60, is he? Yeah, okay. He's young. He's very young. And he plays in a crowded forward line alongside Hawkins, alongside Cameron. You've got
I lie. He's played 48.
There you go.
So I thought he played 60.
Less than 50.
Yeah.
I can't sing the praises highly enough of Ollie Henry. I think he is going to be an elite half forward, and even when he's an elite half forward, he's going to have games and quarters when he's quiet because he plays in that position. But he's going to have quarters when he absolutely turns it on and wins your games of footy. And I always get frustrated when people make these great assumptions and you know, jump on people's backs off the back of one game for a bloke who's played less than 50 games. Like
he wasn't jumping off him; he was more just talking about.
But he's frustrating him. Like, well, he's
frustrating,
and they're also playing St Kilda. Throw that into the mix. Who it's like, you know, it's busy as all get out in their defensive half because they charge back in numbers, and that's their MO. That's what they do. So, as a smallish, well, a mid-sized marking type forward, it's a very difficult and frustrating game for him to play. And once things, when he gets an opportunity and it's opened up a little bit, wow, look out. He'll be a nightmare matchup Friday night for Adelaide. I'll give you the tip.
Howler 41, The Art of War by Sun Tzu states that you should never drop an uncontested mark and let the ball out the back for an easy goal, which is unfortunately what the big number one did late Saturday. This is us not having a crack. This is
Yeah, people, someone else.
Yep. But getting it back to a one-point game, he's been at the Cats for 10 years as a premiership ruckman, but has the Loch Ness Conway evolved enough yet?
No, that's clearly not. That's why they've got Reece Stanley in, which is clearly an issue, because that's why I still don't understand why Todd Goldstein isn't playing at the Cats.
Really impressed again by the younger brigade in Bruin, Clark and Holmes. Good to see that Clark signed a two-year contract.
Oh, that was my other light kingy, Holmes. Mm. Good. Mm. They've got to re-sign Holmes. Yeah. They don't, the Cats will tear down the Joel Selwood stand.
They just opened it. Danger had big moments, but Bruin's 10 touches second quarter showed what he'll become. Yep. Clark goes in wrecking ball style and is tough as a $2 steak.
Yes, and that was another like I had Joy Clark.
I've been on the Dempsey bandwagon a while, and whilst one swallow doesn't make a summer, it does make for a great Saturday night. Yes. Hopefully he can continue to provide that X factor. Also a shout to Zach Guthrie and Colo, both played solid defensive games. Like never to be in the side in place of one of the Irishmen.
Yes, here.
Is the VFL guarded by the Secret Service or the KGB? Getting info about Conway, Nevitt, Newillis, Neil Foster is next to impossible. It's a real furphy, not Joe. Meow, meow. Go Pussies. Howler 41.
Yes, well, Howler 41's all over it. I agree with all that.
VFL plays where... Now, if you want to get a bit of a take on the VFL, there's no... If you're a Cats fan, they're at GMHBA Saturday afternoon to open their season.
What time's that kick off?
2 o'clock. Right. Women at just after 11.
Will they have any sort of refreshment stations open there or not?
Yes.
They will?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I might wander down there.
Have a couple of quiet ones and watch the VFL.
Possibly.
Yep. Yeah. So play Carlton in the VFLW at about 11:15. And then I think men's game at 2 o'clock, Cats and Werribee, who are last year's grand finals.
Okay, so there, any Cat fan, just get down.
Yep. Aussie Sparky, I'll ask the big question that everyone wants to know. Is George Stevens' nickname Roger Ramjet? Only because he's got a very big chin.
Has he?
Yeah.
Has he got the big sort of, Aaron Greaves style?
Yes.
Is it that big?
Yes. And that's about it. I'm just looking over the page 27. Catters07, hi guys. There's a little talk about deconing. I reckon after taking so many big hits last year, he's struggling above the shoulders a bit. I've no doubt he'll overcome these, but he's only young and like a 50-gamer approx. I think people need to calm down. Kid is going to be fun, hopefully, for the next 10 years
or
so.
Yes, correct weight.
Yep.
Des Gleeson style.
Max Holmes. Many different media outlets are saying Max Holmes is worth in the vicinity of $1 million a season. I know not everything you read in the papers is true.
No.
This is a joke. Maybe on the next 2 or 3 years when the word he might potentially become one of the league's best mids. If clubs are going to pay that much, what would he be worth in a trade sense for Geelong? Well, if you're paying that money to Max Holmes, there is a first rounder.
He'd want a first rounder.
Yep.
He'd want something in the top 10.
Yep.
Which Collingwood won't be able to do.
Yep.
Well, they might be the way they're going. They lose tonight.
We are headed to Adelaide. We are on air from 6 o'clock. Stephen King, Geelong assistant coach, to join us pre-game. Jai Clark, I had a one-on-one chat with him earlier in the week, and we're going to replay that.
Good.
And
good.
The most beautiful man in Adelaide is going to join us,
Max
as
Burford.
Well. Maxie Burford.
Yes.
He's the king of Adelaide at the moment.
Is he? Why?
Well, Channel 10, he does radio over there on Nix 102.3, who rated very well in the first survey of the year.
Right.
And he's a very good-looking
man. He's a media magnate, isn't he?
He's a media magnate.
And he's going to come and join
us.
He's going to come
and talk to us.
Is he working?
He's going to have done a little bit of stuff for Channel 10, and then once he's done that, he's going to trundle up to the K-Rock box at Adelaide Oval and have a bit of a word.
He's a good fella, Max.
Where we will touch on, he's a Port Adelaide man a bit, Maxie. So Travis Boak playing game 350 this week, Torquay boy. We'll be touching on that.
And going back to Torquay at some point.
Definitely.
To play.
And probably.
How good will that be for Torquay?
Probably coach.
Be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not that. I would say you will see Travis Boak.
350. Is that this weekend?
Yep.
Holy hell. Holy moly, Kingy.
You'll see, I think, only the 23rd player in history.
It's a real good effort.
VFL AFL history, which will make Tom Hawkins the following week number 24.
Could have been doing for the Cats this weekend if you joined the Cats.
What if you had Boak and Dangerfield in their prime in the same midfield?
That would have been handy.
Very, very
handy. There would have been a few missed targets, though.
Benny.
Rightio.
Behave in Adelaide.
Good work.
Kerr's Hire. Local for 40 years.